This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Paul. Tass is still pretty busy on some other matters. He'll probably join us next week. Fiona's doing social media.
Big thanks to Gordon as well.
And Gordon, who does our podcasts. And interestingly, there's been... podcast numbers are sort of up and down, and I think that's as people get used to perhaps working from home. Judging by the number of messages we're getting when we're on air, Paul, I think there are many, many poor people listening in.
There are.
And engaging with us. Who we got now?
I think people are changing their habits, which is always good to find, but they take a little while. Okay, so now we've got on the phone Tony Walker, the head of the Vic Ambulance Service. Good morning to you, Tony.
Morning, Paul. Morning, Macca.
How you going, Tony?
I'm going reasonably well under the circumstances.
Yes.
How about you guys?
Look, like all, you know, we're 85% of our broadcasting is remote, as I'm sure a lot of people at Ambulance Victoria, you know, that are normally sort of office-bound are working remotely. Of course, paramedics are out on the road, you know, every minute of every hour of every day, and they're the front line in so much of this battle, aren't they, Tony? And I want to recognise not just our ambulance paramedics, but all the health workers that are on the front line out there and that are doing it tough and that are dealing with a virus that is invisible, that has no friends and can kill. And they're putting their lives on the line every minute of every hour of every day for us. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Macca, and I know it means a lot to them. I think you look right now right around Victoria and you're right, we've got paramedics going out every day into people's homes and, you know, worried about, you know, whether they're being exposed to COVID-19, whether they'll bring that home to their families. I currently have around 60 staff who are quarantined, in essence, because they've either come back from travel or because they've transported a patient that had met the definition of COVID-19. And that puts an inordinate amount of pressure on people and the fear around what that means to their families and others. So, yeah, right, they're doing it tough, as are all the health system at the moment. And big shout-out, I've got to say, to all the staff behind the scenes, not just with us, but in the hospitals as well, the cleaners, people that have, you know, I think we've taken for granted for many years in our system, that are just doing some incredible work in keeping our country and the health service still going.
One of the things, Tony, that I think is coming out of this is the impact. We know the impact on people's respiratory health. We know, you know, the stress that health workers are being put under, and the health system in general. But it's the mental health that is often we're not seeing and we're not aware of sometimes until it bubbles up, you know, in a way that we didn't expect. So the stress that this is placing, particularly, I know you can speak about this with some knowledge, within Ambulance Victoria, this is going to have a big impact, isn't it? Because paramedics will be stressed by this. They do deal with stress really well, but they're going to be stressed by it, and it's going to be a big challenge, a really big challenge, how that mental health plays out.
You're absolutely right, Macca. I think, you know, there is the anxiety that comes from the fact that, you know, unlike me, I mean, I work from home largely now. You know, I spend my day on video conferences, et cetera. But my paramedics in the front line don't have that choice. They are out there walking out the door in the morning, and they're, you know, the fear of their families, what does that mean? What, you know, their kids worried about it because they're picking up on what COVID-19 means. So looking after the mental health of our frontline workers right now is critical. We're doing a lot of work in following up. We've ramped up our services for our staff through our peer support and psychological counselling. We've actually got the new families website, so we're engaging families directly to support them through it all. And following up particularly all of our staff who are quarantined, particularly single paramedics who don't have family networks. You know, they do it quite tough. You know, they're social. Paramedics are social animals, and beasts, they love to get out and engage with people, and they can't do that now. And so we're making sure that they're not their mental health is being cared for as much as possible. But you're spot on. This is the issue of underlying mental health in our community, not just for our paramedic workforce, but for the whole community, is something we're going to have to watch very, very carefully over the coming days, weeks, and months.
And Tony, we're very cognizant about that, I think, across all business areas, but particularly important in the frontline team members that you have. How are you managing to use technology for you as a CEO to stay connected to your grassroots team?
It's a really good question, Paul. Shout out to my IT people. They've turned us into a remote worker. I've got about 1,000 staff working remotely from home at the moment, and our support staff. We're moving a lot of our secondary triage, the area that looks after the low urgency calls. Some of that can be merged in from home shortly. So our IT teams have been phenomenal. They've really stepped up at the moment. And you're right, how I keep connecting in our workforce, we're using social networks. Now, we have an internal Facebook site. I'm putting up weekly videos. We have our senior ops staff putting out daily videos. We're engaging on the workplace, our Facebook's internal Facebook site. And making sure we're connected more than ever, because it's too easy right now not to let that drop. And people need to hear from us and see us, and they need to be engaged more than ever before.
Tell us about the workload at the moment, you know, the caseload, Tony. Have you seen a decline in some areas or increases in some areas? Obviously, COVID-19 is only going to increase, but how's the other ambulance responses? You know, what sort of case are you seeing any change there as a result of so many people working from home?
Yeah, so a few weeks ago we saw a big spike in our workload, and, you know, we were obviously a bit worried about what that meant when we look at what's happening overseas. But interestingly, over the last couple of weeks, this week particularly, it's dropped down. So our workload's actually a bit quieter than normal. It's a bit easier to get a patient into a hospital because the hospital have ramped up all their services in preparation for COVID-19. So right now, it's a bit of a lull before the storm, I think, for us. We're seeing people are obviously not calling us that maybe would have called us before. We're managing a lot of calls through our secondary triage area to avoid an ambulance. And we're seeing an increase in respiratory problems, understandably, in the community, some of which is the worried well, and we understand that, and others which is just general respiratory problems. But otherwise, no, we're seeing an overall, at the moment, drop in our workload. It's still high compared to the same time last year, but not what it had been over, say, the last couple of months. So it's going to be interesting. I think this is a bit of a lull before the storm, before we start seeing the increases as the COVID-19 infections take hold through the community. Now, obviously, I'm hoping all the work we're doing around social isolation or physical isolation and washing our hands, etc., we're starting to see some difference there. But, you know, we can't take our foot off the pedal on that one. That's pretty much all we've got right now to make a difference.
Tony, it's encouraging to hear that people actually are thinking twice before they're dialing to call for an emergency service. Actually, maybe the calls they were getting previously that probably weren't as urgent, perhaps, as people thought they were, is giving people a little time to reflect. But I just want to go back to the frontline team members. We talked about the mental health issues, just trying to go out there and deal with something like the virus. What are you doing from a practical measure in terms of equipment to try and protect those frontline people when they are going out to those jobs?
So you've probably seen a lot on the news, the white suits our paramedics are wearing. So they're our all hazard suits, we call them. We use them for asbestos and the potential around chemical infection as well as chemical agents as well as normal infections. So they've been wearing those. We have a little bit of controversy yesterday amongst our workforce. There are other uniform we've been putting out similar to what you see in hospitals. Some of our staff prefer that. Others have come back saying, actually, I feel safer in the cove. They're in Ebola level overall. And I understand that. You know, I've got to say right now, when people are feeling anxious, so I've made it quite clear, we'll support them whatever they feel more comfortable in. We'll always make sure that you'll see them in the overalls. You might see some in sort of hospital type gowns. But we'll make sure anything we provide them meets the infection control guidelines. So masks, etc. We're not having any issues at the moment getting that equipment. But the state has taken a role now in ensuring the personal protective equipment the supply chain for that is being provided to health services. So we've got the equipment we need right now. I expect, there have been shortages overseas. I'm hoping we won't see the same here. I'm pretty confident we've got the right people in the right decision places in government making sure that we get what we need, and right now it's not a problem.
Something a little bit different, Tony. I saw on Twitter you had a paramedic who retired after 40 years this week. Do you want to send him a cheerio? He might be listening.
Absolutely. Steve Mulholland, one of our veteran Mica paramedics. He's retired. And I had a chat with him actually his last day. It was lovely this week to wish him all the best. And he was still doing, still working on the road right up to the last minute. And, he's leaving well. And, I know you have a strong passion around mental health, about paramedics, Macca. And, he's decided, we've lost a few colleagues over time. And he's decided this is probably the right time for him to leave while he's well. And I'm seeing a lot more of that. I'm seeing a lot more of our paramedics who are, making the decisions because it's hard. This is a family. They want to keep doing it as long as they can. But there's a time when you go, actually, the time to retire and actually look after the next stage, the next chapter of my life. So all the best to Steve. He's been a legend in our place, and he's he's saved and touched countless lives. And I wish him every success for the future and in this next stage of his life.
40 years is a 40 days is a long time to be a paramedic. 40 years.
That's a lot of dedication.
I can only imagine the changes that he's seen. It's good. Do you have a message?
I was going to say, it's interesting you say that, Macca, that, when Steve started 40 years ago, we were, the only drugs we carried were inhaled analgesic. there was still, we weren't allowed to take blood pressures. That was what doctors and nurses did, and you look at what we're doing today. Yeah. So we've come a long way, and it's wonderful for the community.
Tony, we're just about to wrap up in a second. I'm just saying to Macca, though, before we came on air, the last time I saw you was at the Pride March in St Kilda, which seems like an age ago now, which is probably only about 8 weeks or so, and just how much has changed in our lives in that short space of time. But I just want to say thank you for being out there, because it means a lot to our community to get leaders out marching in that parade. And there were so many of your team there as well, which was very good to see, supporting you and supporting the LGBTI community. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
No, it's my pleasure. We had a great day. We had more than 100 of us there, and it was just magnificent. It's such a joyful day to be part of a community, I've got to say. It's wonderful.
Tony Walker from Ambulance Victoria, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for the work the service does, and particularly the support you give to paramedics. It's a big passion. It's not just your job, it's your passion, and they appreciate it. I appreciate it. The Victorian community appreciates it. Please stay well, because we need leaders like you.
Good on you, Macca. Thanks to you and Paul, and have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, Tony. Great to talk with you.
Thanks.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.